The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus here is in the midst of a discourse speaking about the end times and the day of judgment. And he says these words in this familiar parable. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. If you were to go out into our narthex, sort of our lobby, and look out into the ravine below through the big windows, you'd see a lot of dead-looking trees. Some of those trees might actually be dead, and others are just dormant during the winter. And you won't know the difference between the dead trees and the living trees until spring comes and they begin to grow leaves again. In the ancient church, a lot of the pastors used to use that picture as a way of describing what we call Christendom. That means the visible church, congregations around the world where people are worshiping. That there may be those who are sitting there in those churches who really spiritually are dead in their hearts. And yet there are others who spiritually are alive with faith in Christ as their Savior. Jesus is really addressing that same type of issue in this very familiar parable for us, using the image of 10 virgins who are waiting for a bridegroom to come to get his bride to enter a marriage hall. And he's here making the distinction between what we call the visible church, people that we can see that are going to congregations and churches, who outwardly profess that they are Christians, and then the invisible church that only God can see down inside of a person's heart, where there truly is faith in Christ going on in that person's heart. And when we look at all 10 of these virgins, Jesus teaches us something here. Think about it. They all were in the right location. They were all waiting for the groom. They all had lamps. They all knew about the oil. They all had the oil at one time, which is symbolic of faith in Christ. And they all fell asleep while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And they all wake up when the call goes out that the bridegroom has finally arrived. And at a certain point in the night, they all appear to be in the same situation and in the same condition. And that's how it is inside of the visible church of Christendom. There's an outward similarity to everyone. There's an outward appearance that's common to all the people that profess to have faith in Christ. They sit in the pews, they hold the hymn books, they listen to the word, they go and take the Lord's Supper. And you can't necessarily see or spot the difference between those who are truly alive and those who are dead, between those who have the oil and those who do not. But the distinguishing factor that Jesus uses in this parable is this reserve supply of oil that will last them until the day the bridegroom comes. The time of delay, the delay in the return of the bridegroom is what causes some of them to not be prepared for when that finally happens. It's that long wait for him that exposes the distinction between the visible church and those who are in this true invisible church of the true believers. This parable is probably one of the most important parables in my personal spiritual life, because it really speaks to the potential danger that I can have of kind of falling into sleep about my faith while still going through all the right motions that would outwardly appear to be part of the Christian church. It's important for us to understand something with this parable. Jesus is not describing crass pagan unbelievers. He's not describing atheists. He's using this parable to describe people who are part of the visible community of Christianity, and yet some of those who are not truly prepared for his return. On the day of Christ's return, those who are the foolish virgins, if you notice, are well aware of what they need. They even know where to go get it, though they've lost it. The very faith in Christ that they once had is now lacking in them. They're not in dark about spiritual matters. They're not completely ignorant about the things of the kingdom of God. There's no guessing as to what they need to have and what they need to go and get. They come to the five wise virgins and say, "Give us some of your oil." They know what they need. But the problem is now it's too late. One of the lessons Jesus is teaching us here, too, is that faith in him is not transferable. Faith in him is not something that we can just absorb because we grew up in a certain family. It's wonderful that parents or certain pastors or teachers pass on the truth of Christ and the gospel of his kingdom, but each individual, by the work of the Holy Spirit, must then make that their own. You cannot believe for another person. King David mourned at the death of his unbelieving son Absalom. Eli, the priest, was grieved by his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, because of their lack of faith. And yet, his love for the coming Savior was not transferable to them. So the lesson here is this: don't expect to be let into the wedding hall because your parents are Christians. Don't expect to be let into the wedding hall because you belong to a particular church body. Don't expect to be let into the wedding hall just because you sit in the pews. It's having true faith in Christ in our hearts, penitent of our sins and clinging to him as our Savior who died for us. That is where the oil truly is to be found. Jesus gives us a very sad sight in this parable. These five foolish virgins who now come too late to the banquet hall and in desperation knock at the door and having them be turned away. "Lord, Lord, open to us." Martin Luther calls this the saddest words in all of Scripture. Those who at one time possessed the saving faith in Christ but let it run out and weren't ready when the day finally came. What a horrible thing to have to hear those words from Jesus. "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Right now, today, God, through the proclamation of his word, holds open to you the door to heaven. He invites you to see and recognize his wonderful, marvelous grace in Christ, that through Jesus Christ, all of your sins have been completely atoned for before the throne of God. The holy record you need to come into heaven is given to you through his word and sacrament. Right now, today, in your life, that door is being held open to you, and God is inviting you and me, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But that door, at some point, will close. So God wants us in faith to go now and to get this oil. May we never treat God's mercy and grace, may we never treat the gospel like some little widget toy that we can play around with in our life and act like, "Well, someday I'm going to get serious about this." How many of the five foolish virgins knew about the grace of God at one point in their life, but then let it run out, thinking that maybe someday down the road we'll be able to go and get some more of that? Don't falsely assume in your life, especially when you're young, that you're going to have plenty of time to come back to the gospel. How many people have been locked out of the door of heaven with that type of sad, false thinking? Your Lord Jesus, the very one who by his blood has paid for your entrance into heaven, the very one who has paid to have all of your sins forgiven, the very one has made it possible to you for you to live forever with the angels. Your very Lord Jesus does not want you to lose out on all that he has purchased for you by his wonderful work. So what if I'm one of the foolish? What if I'm one of the foolish virgins that's not ready when Christ returns? What if I'm one of those dead trees that just looks like I'm part of the forest of the kingdom of God? Well, ask yourself this. If you're concerned that you really don't have this oil of faith, if it bothers your conscience and your heart to think that you might be in that group of the foolish ones, if you desire to have that true oil of faith in Christ as your Savior, if you look at your life and you regret the times that you're not as bold about your life of sanctification as you should be, that you don't really reflect the love of your Savior the way you should in your life, and if that troubles you, if you feel contrition in your heart about having spiritual apathy toward your Savior, if you're concerned that you may not have this oil, well, those are all the concerns that are on the heart of the wise virgins. All of those indicators demonstrate having true faith in Christ. Jesus gives you and me this wonderful parable because he loves us, because he wants us to stay ready and prepared. He knows how fantastic the banquet hall is. He knows how tremendous the feast is, and he doesn't want you to miss it. That's what his whole mission was about. And that's what his present-day mission right now, coming into you in your ears and heart, is all about even today. So, go buy some oil. Stock up. Buy it now. Amen. Please rise. And we pray, Lord God, Heavenly Father, make us watchful and heedful in awaiting the coming of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that when he shall stand at the door and knock, he may find us not sleeping in carelessness and sin, but awake and rejoicing in his appearance. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Depart in peace. Amen.